Good morning. How are you today? It's good to see you. I think that song set with Claudine was just for me. Oh, I loved every single one of those songs. thank you. Wasn't it fantastic to glorify God in that way? Who likes treasure hunting? I'll try again. Who likes treasure hunting? Okay, let's put it this way. Who likes treasure? You don't want to hunt it. You just want the treasure. I think we all want treasure. You think of these guys who have those metal detectors, you know, and they go on the beach and find stuff. And then you have people who go deep sea diving into those wrecks because they're going to find treasure. Well, today we're going to have a little bit of a treasure hunt. If you look under your chair, some of you are going to find a treasure. Not everyone. If you don't look, there are four. So if you find one, there's two, there's three. One's missing. Which direction? Take the chair next to you. There's three. Come on, where's the fourth? Yay! Sorry that you all don't get a treasure. You know, they have the rainbow, and at the end of the rainbow is this wonderful treasure. But Scripture tells us, Jesus in Matthew 13 talks about the kingdom of heaven being like a treasure. And when a man finds it in a field, with joy, he goes and sells everything so that he can have that field, so that he can have that treasure. Do we desire the kingdom of God? Do we see it as a treasure? All of us here, I trust, we have that treasure. We can access that treasure more and more and more, and we can share that treasure for people around us. And one way, there are many ways that God has given us to help us to access treasure is the fruit, is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been teaching over the last while. So let's do a brief recap. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those first six verses. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So in the Corinthian church, there was pagan worship. They were speaking in tongues. They were doing all sorts of supernatural stuff, but not by God, by the devil. That's how they were doing it. And the more, the crazier, the louder, the weirder, the better it was. And so they thought, well, that's how we do it in church, with God's Spirit. But Paul is saying to the Corinthians, no, guys, that's not how God wants it. Verse 4, he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all." What I just want to remind us there is, do you see that variety? Variety of gifts, variety of services, variety of activities. We are not the same. Everybody's fingerprint is different. Every snowflake is different. Don't say, well, I'm not doing it like him. He's doing it or she's doing it. There is variety. God has made you in a unique way, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for you in a unique way. Don't compare. But also, that's the variety, but note the unity. The same God, the same Father, the same Son, the same Holy Spirit. So in this variety, there's the unity of one God. Verse 7 says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit." To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Don't ask, what is my gift? I don't know what my gift is. How can I find my gift? Don't do that. Ask God, Holy Spirit, what are you showing me? What are you revealing to me? Humble yourself and just say, show me. Don't panic. Well, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Are you getting me? Let's be right in this. Verse 8 to 10, he lists all the gifts. I just want to go to verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. You might have one gift. You might have six gifts. You might have all nine. You might experience one of them once, etc. It's as he wills. We have to allow him to do what he knows best to do. So look at today, we're going to do the vocal gifts. So last week, we did the revelation gifts. Jeepers, I'm really tumbling over my tongue today. I apologize. The revelation gifts, and we did the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits. And I think as us very staid South Africans, you know, we like those. You know, they're nice and calm. You can go and tell somebody wisdom. Lainey speak on tongues. It's very loud, very noisy, very uncomfortable. We don't really know if we want to do this. Yeah? That's how I think when I talk to people. Verse 10 says, to another the working of miracles, we'll do that next week. To another prophecy today. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits, we did that last week. And to another various kinds of tongue. To another the interpretation of tongues. So look at these treasures. There's the first one. For me, thank you. Maybe it'll help the tongue. Thank you. That's, for me, a picture of the gift of tongues and interpretation. God has this treasure for the church at a specific time, public meeting, and he has this treasure. And by his divine sovereignty, he wants someone to tell that treasure. He wants that person to reveal that treasure. But we don't understand what the person is saying. So there's a key. There's an available key, the interpretation, that will unlock it and open it up so that we can know the treasure. There's the treasure opened up. And the gift of prophecy is like that immediately. It's already open because it's spoken in a language that, in a way that we understand. So when you have gift of tongues together with interpretation, it's essentially the same as prophecy. God revealing what he has to say that day, that time. He knew exactly where you are. He knows you're here. He knows you need to hear this. And he knows you need to respond. Okay, so let's look in some detail. Let's look at the gift of tongues. Did you notice in that verse 10, it says various kinds of tongues. So there isn't just one tongue. There's a whole whack of them. And a simple way I could do it is, as I've got there, non-rational praying. Non-rational, that means I'm not thinking about what I'm saying. And that freaks us a little bit. What am I saying? We've got to trust God. We've got to trust God. It's not a language you learned at school, at university, or on an app. It's got nothing to do with your mind or your intellect. And I believe, in my understanding of Scripture, it's not the prayer tongue that we use on our own, that we use quietly when we're praying, when we're worshiping, or that's for us. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. And often when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens is they speak in that their own tongue. They get their own tongue. So what is it? It is a supernatural utterance given by the Spirit in a public meeting. It's not for you. It's for others around you, this gift of tongues. It's a message from God, and the person giving it does not know what the message is. Because it's not rational. It always must be used with interpretation. Must be. It's God at work. And it's for the benefit. Might be one. Might be three. Might be six. Might be the whole congregation. God knows. He is sovereign. He uses it as he wills. So what's our role? Use your tongue. Use it. He won't make you. He won't make you. You have to be willing to give that tongue. Scripture shows there's two kinds of these gift of tongues. The first is a language of the earth, a language that we know, or that we don't know, but other people know, put it that way. And the very perfect example of that is in Acts, isn't it? When the guys, after they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and there's the flames of fire and the wind, it's very dramatic. They go out into the people and they start speaking in tongues. They don't know what they're saying, but people all around them, because there's people from every nation, or many nations, and they can hear these people, these simple fishermen, telling the mighty works of God in their own tongue. Do you think it got attention? They're like, whoa, what is going on? They were amazed. Some thought, ugh, they're just drunk, because they don't want to explain it. They don't want to believe. But Peter comes, and what does Peter do? He interprets it, doesn't he? He interprets it, and he expounds it. He says, guys, this is God. And he tells them the gospel. He tells them about Jesus. He tells them what's happened. And 3,000 are saved. Those disciples had to speak out that tongue at that time. He can also give us a language that is, for want of it, the Bible calls it heavenly language. It's the language of angels. We can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Such an important verse. But we can speak in a tongue that is not man-made, that is not known to man. It's of the angels. So let me go back to that prayer tongue. As I said, a prayer tongue is something that's your own. It's something that you use regularly, quietly. It's something that often happens when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I love Romans 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, that word groaning in the Greek, it's not what we think of in the English. That doesn't mean that. Okay. What does it mean? It's an intense spiritual longing. I'm praying to God. I'm praying for whatever person. And I'm praying. And I just don't know what to pray. And I start praying in tongues. He groans for me. Isn't that incredible how he does that? And if I can give just my experience, I came from a background that was very much cessationist, if you know what that means. You do not raise your hands, you don't dance, you don't sing, you don't clap, you don't do any of those things. And I can remember, at our youth, that was in them, we used to go to Saturday meetings. I'm a teenager, and we used to go to the Saturday meeting, which is all the youth in Harare used to come together. So there were all sorts. There's some weird ones, you know, they talk about these tongues, and you've got to be careful of that lot. And this group came from America, and I can remember, and they desperately wanted us all to speak in tongues, and they put us in little groups, and I just, you know, like, well, you're really, okay. Waffle, waffle, waffle. Not for me. Don't be baptized. What's that? You know, I had no idea. In my varsity, I went to an Anglican church, and I always knew of those charismatic weirdos, and they went to the church, and I went once, and it was like, yo, these people are over the top. And slowly but surely, I realized, actually, this is for me. And I can remember for years and years and years, I had one word in tongues. One word. And I repeated that word. I prayed, but I just had one word. I thought, okay. And I can't remember growing into more words. I can't remember that. But now, when I'm singing, I might sing in tongues. When I'm praying, I can pray in tongues, and I pray in English. And I'll read you a verse just now where Paul says that. Sometimes I speak in my language, sometimes I speak in tongues. Pray. Sometimes I pray, sing in my language, sometimes I sing in tongues. That's your own tongue. The Spirit's groaning for you. But then you have this gift of tongues, which is different. It's not for me. It's not when I'm wanting something desperately to communicate with God. It's for everyone. And I've done it twice in my life. And they're both at Hope City. Glendon, I don't know if you remember the first time. It was like, and I can, let me, because this was more fresh in my mind. If you were here 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I'm praying, and I always, I always do when I'm singing in tongues, and I feel like God said, this is not just for you. And I'm like, this is not just for you. It's not something I do easily. So I said to Tia, I think I've got a tongue. So he asked DJ. Why? Because I don't want to do something that's not of God. And as I'm, and then Tia says, okay, when the right time, we'll find it. So I'm waiting. And as I'm just trying, not trying to think it, just trying to just know him, feel him, hear him. And I feel him say as well, and you've got the interpretation. So I say to Tia, I think he's giving me the interpretation as well. So Tia says, okay, let's see how it goes. If no one brings interpretation, you bring it. Okay, so I'm like, and he says, okay, now. And so the only way I can describe it, it's not like I'm thinking about what I'm saying in either the tongue or the interpretation. It's not of the mind, my mind. It's allowing him to use my tongue as he wants to use. Does that make sense? It's very real, guys. It's very real. Paul values this gift highly. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 and 5, he says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. I want you all to speak in tongues. So he's saying this private tongue is good. It's good. He wants it. Then in verse 18 and 19, he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, which is quite a thing to say, because these Corinthians knew what it was to speak in tongues, not God's tongues, but they knew it. So when Paul says, I speak more than you, that's quite a thing to say to those Corinthians. He says, nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So that's why if we speak a tongue in church, it's for you. Keep it for you. You know, pray out loud, but it's for you. And like on Wednesday, we sang, and we all prayed in tongues, but we weren't listening to each other. Well, I hope we weren't. We were praying to God and interceding with God for what he wants for us, for our church, for our community. But there are times when he will give a tongue, and going on, he will give a gift of interpretation. So let's look at gift of interpretation. So firstly, and I can remember this bothered me quite a lot in my early days, it's not a translation. Because I used to think, they spoke in tongues for so short, and this person's going on and on like a, I don't know what. It's not translation. It's not word for word. The interpretation might be shorter, it might be longer. It's God. We've got to trust God. But what it's doing is giving the sense and the meaning of the message that God wants us to respond to. So instead of sitting there thinking, I wonder what she's up to, you, Lainey, you know, really, now listen to her, she's babbling on like a fool. No! Lord, do you want to speak to me? Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Let's not be judgmental. Let us open our hearts and our minds, say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Who interprets? Now this bothered us both after the service, because God gave me the interpretation. Is that scriptural? It is. I went looking. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue, he's talking in church, should pray that he may interpret. So sometimes he gives it to the person who's speaking the tongue, but he also gives it to others. Verse 26 and to 28. What then, brothers? When you come together, please hear this. When you come together, each one, say, I have a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Do you believe that? If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three. I say, oh, Jesus, please, can there be one? But there were so many in that Corinthian church. So it was a bit chaotic. What a joy for us as elders if we have to start managing you. Let anyone speak in tongue, let there be one or two, at most three. Interesting, hey? And each in turn. There's order. And let someone interpret. If there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Don't you love Paul? In other words, be wise. Be listening. Don't just think, well, you know, I can do this and blab out and no one interprets. Then you know it wasn't a tongue for the church. And that's okay. Just learn from it. So the gift, as I said earlier, the gift of tongues together with interpretation is similar to prophecy. That last verse here I want to read from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. He says, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Okay, are we feeling comfortable with tongues and interpretation and the private tongue? So the gift of prophecy. Now, guys, if you weren't here three Saturdays ago and three Sundays ago, we had Chanel here, and she expounded prophecy so well. Please, if you haven't already done so, go and listen to it. Listen to Saturday morning, listen to Sunday morning. You can find it on the website, please. It's a very, very, very good teaching. So just a little bit more from me. So what is prophecy? It's when somebody speaks, but in their own language to you, and you understand it. There's no interpretation required. It's straightforward English or German or wherever you happen to be. But it is divinely inspired by God. It's anointed by God. It is not preaching the gospel. I believe that preaching is often prophetic. But preaching is not prophecy. There is prophecy as well as prophetic preaching. It is not foretelling the future. Now, I've got to be careful here. DJ spoke about knowing the future, but what do we know in the future? God's got it. His plans, what's written in the Bible, will come to pass. That's what we're looking at. We don't need to know in 6 years' time, blah, blah, blah. Why did they do it in the Bible? Because think about it, they were writing the Bible. The prophetic words of Isaiah are in the Bible. The prophetic words of John foretelling the future are in Revelation. They're in the Bible. It was the writing of the Bible. That's why there was that prophecy of future. It gave us the Bible. But at the end of the Bible, what does it say? Don't add any more to this book. It's not guide your life. If you're looking for a prophetic word to tell you what to do, I don't know if you remember when Chanel gave me my word. She said to me, I cannot tell you what to do. Did you notice that? That was so good because she shouldn't be telling me what to do. But she can tell me what she hears God saying. It shouldn't be criticizing. It shouldn't make you feel condemned. It shouldn't make you feel confused. If it does any of those, reject it. It never does that, ever. It may be a confirmation of what he's already said. For me, with her, she said I would be writing. You know, it's about the fourth time God's told me that. He keeps on confirming it. I think he's saying, hello, Lainey, will you wake up? Will you listen? It must always line up with Scripture. Always. I remember once a guy telling me, God has told me I do not need to work. The Bible says if you want to eat, you must work. Sensible one. God's told me I don't need to get married. What does the word say? He gave me a prophetic word of X, Y, Z. Guys, what you believe God's told you, does it line up with Scripture? If it doesn't, reject it. In 1 Corinthians, the purpose of prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, he says three things, that purpose of prophecy. He says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, to edify you, build you up. Next one is encouragement. Encouragement. And then consolation. Consolation, we don't use that word very often. It would be comfort, to bring you comfort. That's what prophecy is for. Encourage you, build you up, console you if you need consoling. This, guys, I hope it blows your mind. It may impact unbelievers. How awesome is that? Okay, it's not so awesome. How awesome is that? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24 and 25 says, but if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or outside enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Oh, yes, please, Jesus. May people come into this place and fall on their knees and say, I can only follow God. Hey, so dudes, are you inviting those people? Because how are they going to hear if you don't invite them? Hey? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21 says, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. So three questions. Is it scriptural? Does it glorify God? And does it fulfill those three things? Does it edify, encourage, and console? So in conclusion, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 says, pursue love. The whole of chapter 13 is about love. Guys, if we do stuff because it makes us feel good, or we don't want to be important, or we want to be the main dude in church, or we want to whatever, if we're not doing it in love, stop doing it. We've got to do everything in love. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Why should you, I'm talking to you, each one of you individually, why should you, yes, you, nobody here is allowed not to say, well, it doesn't apply to me. Why should you earnestly desire the gifts? So then I would ask, why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Well, it gives me purpose in life. I find peace. I find hope. I find joy. I love to glorify the one who saved me, who gave me for everything. We sung it today. This Lamb of God who laid down everything for us. I was chatting to my mom yesterday, and we were just talking about that moment on the cross when the Father turned his face. We cannot imagine the anguish that Jesus felt. They've known each other for eternity. But for that moment of time, he disconnects. Why? For me. And for you. What do I owe him but my everything? But you know what? It's not just about your peace, your joy, your purpose. All very important. It's about where God's placed you. It's about impacting the world for Jesus. I was looking at all the stuff that's happening. I watched Tehran and all that. You should have seen this morning. The square of Tehran, it just looks black. It's just all the people mourning the death of Khomeini. He's dead, by the way, if you didn't know. And they're all they're just mourning. And I'm thinking, Lord, one day they're going to bow their knee to you. But Jesus, can they find you before? Because then they're going to go to hell. Think of a person in your life who you know is going to hell. Do you care? We should care desperately. I know I don't care enough. And one way that God helps me to care and love is by the gifts of the Spirit. So we must earnestly desire them that we can impact people that He's placed in my life for me to impact. Because I can't do it on my own. I cannot do it in my own strength. I need Him. And I need His pouring out of His Holy Spirit. And He does it in so many ways, but I've got to earnestly desire it. That guy found the treasure in the field. He had to find the treasure. That meant he went looking. If you'd all sat there and I said, okay, there's a treasure under your seat, and you all just sat and looked at me, would anyone have found the chocolate? No. You had to look for it. You had to get a little bit uncomfortable and turn around and all that stuff. And some of you didn't because you were too lazy. But guys, earnestly desire the gifts. Position yourself. And we are trying to teach us, help us, all of us, so that we get to the place. Why? Because we want unbelievers to come, become radically saved in this church, but wherever we find ourselves. For His kingdom. For the kingdom of God to come. Because it's the only solution to this world. And will always be. What's the most important gift? The one needed at that moment. Wherever you are. Who knows what it is? He knows. Will I only do this? No. We have access to the Holy Spirit. We have access. The most important gift at that moment is the one that He says, now. So let us, by faith, always in love, earnestly desire the gifts. And today we're looking at the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, and the gift of prophecy. We did it on Wednesday, and I think we've got to keep on doing it. Praying for the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled up, guys. We leak. It's not a once-off thing. It's not something to be scared of. Could it make you feel uncomfortable? Yes. Could He tell you things you didn't really want to do? Yes. It's all about Him. Guys, are we all about Him? Are we prepared to let go of our comfort zones? I remember, I was asking myself that on Wednesday. I said, Lord, hey, this is going to get uncomfortable. I like my little routines. I like my life doing this. I mean, Chanel told us we're going to go overseas. That's very uncomfortable. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing God, not me? Don't hear me. Don't hear me. Hear God. What is God saying to you right now? How should we do this? My honest opinion, I think we need, all of us need more of the Holy Spirit. All of us. I know I do. I want more of Him. Less of Lainey. So we'll dim the lights. Let's stand, maybe, I don't know, guitar or you, whichever, just something. Somehow we feel more at ease when there's something. Let's just stand and allow God to be God. Allow Him to do what He wants to do. Up to you, up to you. We can be baptized in the Spirit, rebaptized and rebaptized by the laying on of hands, but it doesn't have to be. You can be in the bath. You can be on the loo. You can be driving in the car. That happened to R.T. Kennedy. He's driving the car and like, whoa, what's going on? It's okay. He's God. He does when he wills. But he wants you to be receptive. He wants you, me, to be open. To look for it, to position myself. Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy are you, Lord, to receive all glory and honor and praise, for you created all things, and by your will they are created and have their being. Lamb of God, Lamb of God, who sits at the right hand of the Father, we worship you. We bow our knee, we humble our hearts, and say, you are Lord. You are Lord. Rule in my life, Holy Father. I choose to give you my all. And Holy Spirit, you said, you're there, you're always there. You wanting to help us, you wanting to aid us, you wanting to give us more of you, more of Jesus, that Jesus may be glorified, that Jesus may become the be-all and end-all. So we open our hearts, our souls, our minds, and we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Fall afresh on me. Anoint me. Sanctify me. Show me. Fill me. More of you, just more of you. Perhaps a time to pray out in your own tongue. If you don't have a tongue, start praying in English and allow him. Just move your tongue. Thank you.
for the Lord God Almighty reigns.
Friends, it's such a sweet moment. And I think so many times the biggest problem with all of us, we want to rush things. You know when God says in Scripture, be still and wait. There's just a waiting this morning. Don't dial out. Don't rush. Another word came just saying, feels like there's a line drawn in the sand. You've done so many things and you're standing here and you're even feeling, you know what, he can't fill me up because I've done so much. But there's a line drawn in the sand. And the word is this: today is a new day. Today is a new day. I don't know what you've done. Can I tell you what? I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus washes us clean. From the beginning, we felt in our hearts, God says, go deeper. And can I tell you, there's some of you that's standing with your ankles in the water this morning and you're having so much fun. There's much more. I want us to sing this chorus again. And I want to dare you, go ankle deep. Go knee deep. Go waist deep. Just give yourself over. You know when you go to McDonald's and they ask you regular, large, and you have different cups. Do you know if you bring God a cup with a regular, he's just going to fill that cup up for you, because he's not pushing himself. But if you bring that large cup and you say, here, mark my full vandag, fill me till overflow, guess what? He's going to do it. Can I ask you, go waist deep. Go that your shoulders are in the water, that you actually need to put your hand up to that lifesaver and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I'm desperate for you. Let's not be impatient this morning. As we just sing this chorus, just surrender yourself to Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill you up. We can't do this without Him. Let's just sing this together. Let's worship this together. Where you are, just surrender to Him now.
Oh.
Isn't it amazing the activity that goes on in the throne room? Every time they see Jesus, they fall down and they say, "Holy, holy, holy." And you know that doesn't stop, carries on. Yes, we can probably carry on this whole morning. But I feel in our hearts, as you and I walk out of this place, the rest of this day, just allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in you. Like Lainey says, it doesn't have to be in the moment where you can drive in your car. Just don't close your eyes. It can be when you get home with your family, when you're sitting around the table. It can be tonight when you put your TV on and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just says, "No, I'm not done with you." It can be when you switch on your laptop tomorrow to start working, the Holy Spirit says, "Man, I've got something this morning for you." It's when you climb in that taxi. It's when you walk out of here. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. I refuse to do it without Him. If you're comfortable with it, please just reach your hands up. Put it up with me. Lord Jesus, we come to You as we are standing in Your presence. We surrender to You this morning. Holy Spirit, more of You. More of You. More of You. Fill us up. Streams of living waters flowing through us. Flow through us. Come and have Your way, Lord Jesus. As we stand here with arms raised up, we surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't just give You lip service. We bow our hearts before You and we surrender to You. We say, "Jesus, have Your way. Come and do in and through us what You want to do." We know that You've placed us in this town, in this city, in this country to do what You have called us to do. Holy Spirit, use us with whatever, however, whenever. Do what You want to do. Have Your way with us. We surrender to You. And Lord, our declaration is this: we are madly in love with You. We are madly in love with You, Lord. Jesus, 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 we are madly in love with You. There is no one like You. Have Your way in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen.